Now, we're going to have some Bible study tonight, so you might want to get your Bibles ready. I see Billy's over here cracking his knuckles, ready to go. Okay, here we go. Not exactly Bible drill, but we used to have Bible drill. Oh, God. Anyway, let's start in Romans chapter 8. Put a marker also in Romans 4. Now, in the listening audience, even here in the room, we have people that are pretty young. We have people that are not so young. Let's say it that way. People not old, but they're not so young anymore. And as you get older, Sue's going, who are you talking about? I don't know. Some other people, baby. But anyway, there's a verse, this Romans 8:11 that we're going to read here. Every time I've, all these years when I'd read that, I mean, the way we normally teach it is fine, and it is true. But there was always like a tickle, you know, there's always like an itch or something, like there's more to this than what we've been taught, you know. So he's just recently been opening it up to me. So Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, see that word quicken, your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, in the context of Romans chapter 8, he is talking about the difference between the fella in Romans 7 who had God's law, wanted to keep it, but had no power to keep it. And so he said, with my mind, I agree that your law is holy and good, but he found no way to do it. And so he's contrasting the difference between that guy and Romans 8, where now the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So what's being taught here, in our spirit, we have already been quickened. We've gone from death to life, and God has empowered us. This whole thing is a process of restoration. God has taken us right back to Genesis chapter 1. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. There's going to be nothing there that Adam ever touched. There's not going to be any sin of any kind, okay? So we're in that process. Now, the dispensation we're living in, our spirit has already been quickened from death to life, and that's the grace of God that gives us the power to walk free from sin. And without quoting it directly, for you, the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we can live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Well, that is the grace of God. But then he's talking in that same chapter, 11 verses down, starts talking about our bodies. And the way we've taught it is correct. Right now, he has already quickened our spirit. Our soul, our mind, our emotions, and all of that is being renewed. That's Romans 12:2, be no longer conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of the mind. So our spirit has been quickened, our mind is being renewed, and the promise is, one day we're going to have a new body. I'm looking forward to that one. A body that will not sin, even if I try and get it to. I can't imagine a body like that. Body, let's go get drunk, and it's going to, are you crazy? We don't do that, you know. Because right now, my body will do any, if I, you know, they bring donuts in here on Wednesday. My body would eat all of them every time, the whole box. Even if it made me throw up, if I let it, it'll go, yeah, we need to eat all these. Where's the next box? Well, that's the kind of body you have, and that's why you got to have it under discipline. But the this next one, it says righteousness is actually going to dwell in our bodies. Well, anyway. So it's not wrong to preach this. I can't imagine that either. But we are, the day is coming, we're going to get a new body. But every time I would read this, every time I'd come across that word quicken, there's always this little, Kenneth Hagin would say, there's this little scratching down on the inside of me. It's like, there's more to this. There's more to this. So keep that verse in mind and go over to Romans chapter 4. Now say it with me. This is deep calleth unto deep. Romans 4 comes before Romans 8. So Romans 8 is building on Romans 4, okay? Well, Romans chapter 4 is where Paul uses Abraham as an example of living by faith. and possessing the promises. So let's look at what Abraham found out. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now that is the promise. That's the promise made to Abraham before he ever had any children at all. I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God. Now notice, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, we know eventually Abraham had to believe God. Now, this is years later, though, after Isaac was born, after Isaac was really a young man, maybe, you know, scholars vary, but 15 to 19 years old, maybe, when God asked him to offer him as a sacrifice on the mountain. That was a long time later. And then Abraham had to have faith for God to raise Isaac from the dead. Isn't that right? He'd already received him in a figure. But see, in this passage, if we're going to leave it in Romans 4, that is not what Abraham is believing here. When it says God who quickens the dead, Abraham, we're going to look at it here in the scripture fairly quick. Abraham had to believe God not for a resurrection later. That's not on his mind. In the beginning of this process, God is telling Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a child in your old age. Now, they had Ishmael along the way. But Ishmael, if you want to write something down that's good, Ishmael is a child of what's possible. Isaac is a child of what's not possible from human point of view, see? Ishmael was something that man could do. Isaac was something that couldn't be done except God at his part. So let's look at it quickly. Now, there's so many things that happen in these chapters, Genesis 17, 18, 19, and 20. There's so many things that happen. We lose the thread of the growth of Abraham and Sarah's faith because they literally went from unbelief to belief. Okay? All right. So, all right. Look at Genesis 17. We're not going to look at Sodom and Gomorrah. We're not going to look at Abimelech. We're not going to look at all the things that happened along the way. We're going to follow this thread of Abraham and Sarah having to come to the place of believing that God quickens the dead. Because what they're believing here is not that God can raise the dead to new life. What they have to believe is God can quicken their mortal bodies, which were now dead when it comes to childbearing. Can I say it another way? It's a rejuvenation of youth. Do I have anybody interested now? Yeah, rejuvenation of youth is really what God who quickens the dead. And in context now, he's talking about the birth of Isaac in Romans 4. He's not talking about raising Isaac from the dead later. So, okay? All right. So let's start it off here in Genesis 17, verse 1. And when Abram, now this is before God changed his name, and Abram was 90 years old and 99. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between thee, me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Now that's children. Will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Now here's the promise that we just read in Romans 4. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. He's talking about children. Okay? And here's where he changes his name. Now we talked a week or so ago about when God gave him hope and took him out and showed him the stars. That was before this. He's had that vision of hope for a long time. But nothing changed. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And one of the first steps of faith, you have to begin to say what God says about you. You have to begin. We're back to Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So if God says, I have made you the father of many nations, and immediately he changes Abram's name, so every time he talks about himself, he has to agree with God. So here's that verse, verse 5. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, For a father of many nations have I made thee. God calls those things which be not as though they were. And he immediately changes Abraham's name. So every time he says who he is, he's saying what God said. I am the father of a multi. How does it say it here? I am the father of many nations. I am the father of many nations. I am the father of many nations. Yet him and Sarah, they don't have a child of their own. Okay, now I want to stay with the story here. Now let's go on over to. Saying 17, come on down to verse 15. I'm trying to just stay with directly with the line of going from not believing to believing. Verse 15, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, now that, at first her name was Sarai, S-A-R-A-I, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, shall her name be. Now Sarah, if you look it up in the Hebrew, means princess. When we think of a princess, we don't think of someone 90 years old. You think of a princess, you think of the one who eventually is going to give birth to the heir. Isn't that right? And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Sarah is 90. Sarah is 90 years old. No, yes, 90 years old. And give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. So he's making the same promise to Sarah that he said to Abraham. A father of many nations have I made thee. A mother of many nations is he making her. Kings of people shall be of her. Now, Abraham was just so full of faith. I want you to notice this next verse, how full of faith Abraham was in the beginning. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. And it doesn't leave it to wonder, like he's not laughing for joy at this great promise. He tells you what he's laughing about. He fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart. See, I think he was afraid to say it to God. But he said it in his heart. Right now I'm hearing shall not doubt in his heart. Okay. And said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? He's laughing. This is ridiculous. This doesn't make any sense at all. But I do notice he only said this and laughed in his heart. But see, that's the problem. If you have doubt in your heart, if you have doubts not in his heart, okay. Now notice, I'm telling you, don't even ask me how many times I've done this same thing. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. They already have an Ishmael. God, we helped you out. We come up with a way to do this. We figured out a man's way to do this. Can't you just use what we did? And God's going, no. God said, Sarah, it's almost like he takes Abraham by the cheeks, you know. Now listen to me, Abraham. Don't be thinking to the left or right. I can almost see God take, like you take a little child and trying to get it across to him. Sarah, thy wife. Understand what I'm saying to you, boy, son. Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. Inside. She's 90. I'm 99. Oh, I don't want to laugh out loud, but God, you got to be kidding. It's like Jane, see the ball here. Sarah, thy wife, so there's no mistaking, shall bear thee a son in thine old age. Shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. Now notice, I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. Now notice, and with his seed, singular, after him. Now that's going to be really important later on. Now, he talks about Ishmael, but I want to stay with the seed. I want to stay with the theme of going from unbelief to belief. You can tell Abraham at this point is not on fire in belief. Can you tell that? He's thinking like a natural person. God, he says, no, let's do it this way, God. I've already got an Ishmael. We'll do it that way. And God has to just center him up. No, no. Now listen to me. Sarah, your wife, are you listening to me? She's going to bear you a son. What? I'm 100. She's 90. What? Or I'm 99. She's 90. What? Okay. So let's come on down to chapter 18 and let's pick it up in verse 9. Now this is, and they said unto him, to Abraham, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. He said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Now we all know what he's talking about there. She wasn't ovulating anymore, which you wouldn't think at age 90. Okay. Now therefore, Sarah, she's 90, not even ovulating, and she hears she's going to have a baby. And Sarah laughed within herself. She's not doing it out loud either. Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have... Boy, this is so nice of the King James, how it's put here. Shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. And that's just a real nice way of letting us know Abraham's not quite the hot rod that he used to be. Okay? They've waxed old, which is what you'd expect at 99 and 90. Can you see these are impossible circumstances? In the history of the world, it's never been told that somebody 99, you know, years old or at past ovulation time is going to bear a child. Come on. She laughed. And the Lord said unto Abraham, now notice she's in the tent with the door shut. The Lord hears you in the tent with the door shut. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child? Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Oh, now verse 14. Good Lord. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Let's just say Selah. Let's pause and meditate on that for a minute. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Yeah, but you don't understand, Lord. My circumstances are hard. In fact, my circumstances are impossible, Lord. Lord, this is hard. Every time we say that, we're only speaking from a human point of view. God goes, what's too hard for me? Is anything too hard for me? Now notice, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now notice, then Sarah denied, saying, I didn't laugh. Well, she didn't laugh out loud. That's not a total lie. It says she laughed within herself. I didn't laugh. No, no, it wasn't me. For she was afraid. I bet she was. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. See, the Lord looks on the heart. All right. Now the point of this, listen, Sarah, Abraham and Sarah were human. They didn't start off believing. They had the promise of God. They loved God. God made his covenant with them. I skipped over all that covenant part, but Abraham obeyed. He circumcised his house and all of these things, you know. But when it comes right down to it, he didn't believe. And neither did Sarah. They laughed on the inside of themselves that this is even possible. And what are they considering? They're considering the natural circumstances, their bodies, which are now physically dead when it comes to childbearing. Okay? All right, now we're going to, again, skip over Sodom, and I want to stay with this story here now. All right, let me find it. Got to go quite a ways here now. Let's go on over to 20. Nope. Got to go beyond there even. Go to 21. Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah. But we read that too quick. And the Lord visited Sarah. When the Lord comes and visits you, things change. We're going to confess over Pastor Dave in a little while. And I believe for a visitation of the Lord. And I believe things will change. See, I do believe that. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Absolutely not. I love this, though. And the Lord visited Sarah. Now notice, as he had said. See, God and his word are one. For years, I had I printed myself a paper to have over my desk where I would see it many, many times a day. God's word equals God's deeds. If you have his word, you have his deed. He sees no separation between the two. And that's called truth. If you wanted to put a big circle around that, that whole equation is truth. Father, thy word is truth. Okay, we'll teach on that again. I can see looks that tell me I've got to teach that again now. Okay, all right. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did. See, now notice, the Lord said, and the Lord did. Do you see that? The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Somehow they went from unbelief to belief, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Now, Paul tells us what happened over in Romans 4. We're going to go back there in a minute, but let's finish this right here. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Say this with me. The Lord visits me as he has said. And the Lord does unto me as he has spoken. Amen. Amen. For Sarah conceived. What? 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 There's no egg. What? Is anything too hard for the Lord? For her to conceive, an egg had to come from somewhere. Her body began producing again. This is called rejuvenation. This is called restoration of youth. And also now, without getting too graphic, of course we don't have any children, but we never know who's watching later. We also know for Abraham, he had to become a little more hot-rodish than he was before. Because that egg also had to be fertilized. Isn't that right? God, is anything too hard for the Lord? What he says, he does, if we can go from unbelief on the inside to believing. Now, we're going to look at how Paul describes the believing process over in Romans 4. But let's read just a few more verses. Genesis 21:1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now I wanted to include this verse. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. All of a sudden, her laughing now has taken on a whole new meaning, hasn't it? For God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? She gave her child suck. What does that tell you about her body? Her body produced milk. For I have born a son in his old age. So if he's now 100, she's got to be 91. And giving suck to a baby. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And just to know sure, for sure, that's what he means. Look at the next verse. And the child grew and was weaned. Can you imagine a 91-year-old lady breastfeeding a child? This is called rejuvenation. This is called quickening of your mortal body. This is something beyond the resurrection from the dead. This is talking about fixing your body right now. Mm-hmm. Glory to God is right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the child grew and went on. Now go back to Romans 4, because Paul lays it out for us how they went from laughing at the promise of God. Oh, God, come on, God, you must be kidding. To believing. And it's laid out for us in Romans chapter 4. We'll pick it up in verse 18. Hallelujah. I'm loving this. Are y'all loving this? Who against hope believed in hope. What's that talking about? In the natural, there was no hope. That's why they laughed. See, a lot of times when God tells you to do something, I remember when, now this is way down on the scale compared to what Abraham and Sarah, but when God called Sue and I full-time into ministry, he said things to us that seemed impossible. We had no money at all, no income was coming in at all, and he's talking to us about sending stuff free around the world when we'd hardly have two nickels to rub together. And it seemed absolutely impossible, but that didn't seem to bother him. It didn't, you know. Whether it was possible or not to us didn't seem to matter to him at all. This is what I want you to do. And it was, what? And I kept, just like Abraham, I kept coming up with Ishmaels. He said, we'll start a Bible study. My first thought, oh, we'll take up offerings at the Bible study. Next time I pray, don't take up any offerings. Then he says, I want you to start recording all the messages on cassette tape. My first thought, we'll start selling the cassettes. The very next time I pray, don't sell anything. Well, okay, we're going to mail the cassettes for free, but I'll put in a return envelope, and at least that way they'll have a little something, you know. And so the very next time I pray, don't include any return envelope. What? Seemed impossible. Say it with me. Is anything
too hard for the Lord?
What the Lord says, the Lord does. Okay. So against hope, there was no natural hope. Abraham, he had to come to the place where he believed in hope. Now, hope is everything you see on the inside. Hope has everything to do with that starry night where he took Abraham out and gave him a vision to look at instead of an empty crib. Quit looking at what has been. Come outside. Let me show you something else. And got him to looking at the stars in the desert on a clear night. Abraham, I'm thinking of Cole asking me that time, Papa, can you see the lion in that tree? No, Cole, I don't see a lion in that tree. Papa, can you pretend? And suddenly I could see a lion in the tree. Now, that was an imaginary thing. But see, there is a decision when it comes to believing. Are you going to choose to believe what God says or not? It's not pretending. It's choosing to believe what he says where you can't see it yet. You can't see it yet. If you go in and look at the crib in the tent, it's empty. But God says, quit looking at that. Look at what I tell you instead. Come outside, boy. Look at all the stars. Can you number them? No, can't number them. Your seed's going to number like that. Then he gave him one for the daytime. Can you count the grains of sand on the seashore? No, sir. Your seed is going to number like that. Now he's got hope for day and night. So Abraham, he had to make a choice against hope. He had to make a decision to believe in hope. He had to choose the hope of God's word. You got to choose what God says. Let the word of God paint the picture of hope on the inside of you. That's good preaching right there. So that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. And the promise was, so shall thy seed be. Now see, verse 19, being not weak in faith. Well, he sure started off weak in faith. He laughed on the inside. So did Sarah. They both laughed. But they kept looking at the vision. They kept talking about it. They also said about themselves, they had no choice if they're going to obey God. Every time they spoke about themselves, they said what God said. I am the father of a multitude. I am a princess. I give air. I give birth to the air. Every time they said what God had said about them, and they weren't allowed to say, "Well, I'm really Abram, but I got to tell you, my name's Abraham." No, I am Abraham. I am Sarah. Show me the proof. My faith is the proof right now. Right now, faith is the substance of what I'm hoping for. But the day's going to come, you're going to see that child for yourself. Okay, but anyway. Being not weak in faith. Now listen, it says, he considered not his own body now dead. Did he start off considering it? We just saw where he considered it. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He sure started off considering it. We just read it over there. Shall my wife, and she was considering it in reverse. Shall my husband, shall I receive pleasure? They had to come to the place where they considered not the circumstances they were facing. I don't care what it's like. See, these are facts. But God's word is truth. And truth changes facts. They had to see what God said. They had to say what God said. But as they did that, there was a journey made in their heart from unbelief to belief. And it says he came to the place, verse 20, he staggered not. He got to the place where he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now here it is. And being fully persuaded, not partially, fully persuaded what he, God, had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, Abraham had to believe. He had to come to the place, him and Sarah both really, they had to come to the place where God would quicken, rejuvenate, revitalize, make productive their mortal bodies again. Now listen, the blessing of Abraham belongs to those who are Christ's. Remember back there I said this verse is important. I will make thy covenant with Isaac and with his seed. All right, look at Galatians 3:29. Hallelujah. I know it takes time for this massive crowd for everybody to find these verses, but in Galatians 3:29, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, see that word singular, and heirs according to the promise. Heirs according to the promise. Now, back to Romans 8:11, with all of that in mind. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. Well, what spirit quickened Abraham and Sarah? That's the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? The Holy Spirit will not only give us our glorified bodies while we're here on earth, he'll quicken your body right now. This is what Abraham had to believe. He had to find out two things about God. God quickens the dead. And he's not talking there about raising the dead. We just saw what he was talking about. God will quicken your mortal body. That's exactly what Abraham and Sarah had to believe. God will make our bodies supple, energetic, youthful. Again, not only did she bear a child, but she was able to give suck. She was able to nurse that child from a 91-year-old lady. Now that takes some physical rejuvenation for that to happen. And she did it until the boy was weaned. Now here we have a type and a shadow from the Old Testament. Look at Psalms 103. It's a type and a shadow. See, man, where he's bringing us. See, if you would have asked me a year ago even, especially 5 years ago, Gary, do you believe God's word? Absolutely, I believe God's word. How dare you insult me by even asking me that? I definitely believe God's word. Mm-hmm. How about, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Believe that, Gary? Yeah, I believe it. What I meant by that is I know it. I have knowledge of it. I know it's in there. I know it's God's word. But are you, see, the proof is in the pudding, isn't it? Are you walking in it? So what that means is you have knowledge of it, but you don't yet know it. You shall know the truth. And that word know right there is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word where Adam knew his wife. You got to know it like that. It's got to become, when a husband and a wife know each other like that, the Bible says the two become one. The word has to become one with us. Because God will do what he said. So Psalm 103, you should have found it by now. 1-5. See, man shall live, say it with me, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, how do we live by bread? Don't we eat it? You got to eat it for it to become life to you, right? Well, you got to eat God's word for it to become life to you. Now watch this. Let's eat this. here's some food. A Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now notice, who healeth all thy diseases. Can we believe that? Is that the word of God? Yeah, but what about when the symptoms come? See, I believe it too until the symptoms come. I'm going to tell Angie's story again real quickly. They were going from a transition. Her husband had a job, a good job. He'd risen in the ranks to the highest he could go in that job. But it's kind of a dead end from there. All you ever get is cost of living from that point on. So Sue encouraged him and Angie encouraged him. He started going to night school and got some education and some degrees and things. Well, he went on to much higher now. I mean, it's hard to believe how high the Lord has brought the man. And they knew this transition from one job to the other was coming, so they saved up some money. I use this because it's just so perfect, and I've got my own story. She's sticking her tongue out at me. They saved up some money to make the transition. Okay, well, that's wise and smart. But did your month ever exceed your paycheck? They didn't save up quite enough, you know. And so she come to me and I don't remember exactly how it went, but this is the sentence. We were strong in faith while the money was there. And it's so perfect because we're all strong in faith when the money's there. We all believe he's our healer when we feel great. It's when the money's not there. And it's when your body is being attacked with symptoms or with age things or other anything else. That's when it requires faith. Amen? That's just perfect. It just perfectly illustrates it. So now, again, verse 3, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Here it is, verse 5. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things. Why? So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Just taking it like this. He's renewing my youth. Why not just believe it? Why not just believe it? Sarah, Abraham and Sarah were human. They were. This is one of his benefits. He satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed. The Holy Spirit lives in my body. He quickens my mortal body. I am Christ. I am Abraham's seed. And I'm heir to the promise. My youth is being renewed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What if we eat this? What if we believe this? Start speaking. Sue's been doing really good here lately. I know nobody else in the room does any, the devil ever attack their body. I'm getting eye rolls. Okay. Sue's been doing really good speaking to that. I mean, every time. Nope. Pain. Get out. How many of you have seen the video of the Canadian pastor when they came to shut down? You know, these police come in and they're going to shut him down. He was treating them like Nazis. And he's saying, get out. Don't say anything. Just get out, you Nazis, you unbelievable. So you're almost like with that. Get out of my body, you Nazi devil. No, you get out. Don't say nothing. Just leave. Get out. You're not allowed here. Just the same way he did. And it's been working. It's been working. I can already tell the difference. She's doing great. Well, that's called believing God's word. That's acting on what he said. And I believe we're in for a wonderful time. Wonderful time. Hallelujah.